those drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
Sometimes your neighbors put things out in the yard with a sign that says free. Mm. And all of a sudden you feel like you live in a Goodwill center.
I wouldn't be that harsh. So here's what I would say, right? Facebook Marketplace, whatever it is, any different things, you know, free to those who come first. I got no problem with it. I think it's great. Neighbors sharing things with other neighbors. One person's trash is another person's treasure, Anna, right? Mm-hmm. And my neighbor, Bobo, he's a busy guy and he's always clearing things out. He's got one of the nicest garages on my street. You walk by and there's room in there. He has card games in there, a television, a refrigerator. You know why?
Why?
Because he's always getting rid of junk. Okay. Anything that he's not using, he gets rid of.
Great.
So I'm used to a certain amount of things being in the area of the front of his house. The sidewalk actually starts and ends right on his property. So it's like the edge of his and the edge of mine where he always stacked these things. It's nothing weird for me to look outside and there to be a strange person in the neighborhood riding a 10-speed that's like 40 years old around, seeing whether or not it works, or picking up some children's toys or anything like that. But right now, there is a recliner that has been out on that sidewalk for 3 days. Sunshine, rain, all different conditions. And here's what I'm thinking. If nobody came to get it in the first few hours, nobody's coming for that chair, Anna.
Right.
So how long am I supposed to wait until something moves into it? We've got wildlife in my area. I mean, there could be a fox and kits in there right now. There could be a raccoon in there waiting to jump out at me when I walk by.
I don't know if it's your responsibility or your place to say to your neighbor, get that recliner off your front lawn.
Listen, I like the guy. He's a good neighbor. We don't have any problems amongst the two of us. As a matter of fact, when I blew off his driveway after the fireworks, he sent me a very nice note thanking me for that. But it also impedes the sidewalk. Now I can walk around it. That's
right.
True.
Yeah, your legs work just fine.
Yeah, but what if a dragon climbs out of the bottom of it when I'm walking around it?
There's no dragons in there. There's nothing in there. And I bet you that by the end of the week, that recliner will be picked up by somebody who took it for free, and it'll end up in a nice new home.
The more times it rains, all right, the heavier that chair gets, the more likely there's something in there finding shelter.
I don't think you can tell a homeowner to take something off their front lawn. I think that it makes you look like, mind your own business, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you like it if you had something in your yard and your neighbor, Bobo, came over and said to you, remove that, whatever
right.
it is.
No, we would never do that to each other. We're good neighbors.
So then why are you even bringing this up? He's going to hear this and he's going to know that you're mad about the recliner.
I'm not mad about it. I'm afraid for my ankles.
Okay.
I'm going to walk by and something's going to reach out from there and grab me.
You sound mad, bro.
For a long time, 11 was widely the age, the minimum age, I should say, where kids should be allowed to get a cell phone.
I mean, I don't know who announced that or made that official somewhere. It just felt safe to you.
Well, I think across the country that 11 years old was the age that a lot of parents started doing it. And I even know in school districts, they would say and send emails saying you shouldn't be giving your kids before the age 11. And for me and my friends and my family, that's what we did. But all of that may have changed earlier today because science says that there is a new minimum age where kids should get a cell phone.
44 years old.
No. Joining us, it's my nephew, Drew, who just celebrated a birthday.
Hi.
Hi. It's your favorite aunt and Raven.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Just chilling at home.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your birthday, man. I heard it was a good one.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right. So how old did you turn yesterday?
11.
Now, 11 is a big special age because what did you get as a gift?
A phone.
I know.
What?
I know. It's
what?
Big news. Yeah.
All against science, yeah. Anna.
Mm-hmm. I texted your mom in the morning and she said, you can text him yourself. And she gave the phone number. Were you surprised or did you know you were going to get it?
Well, when my sisters got her phone, they were both 11 years old. So I was kind of thinking I was going to get a phone too.
Mm-hmm.
You had the countdown on, right?
Yeah.
He's like, legally, there's mm-hmm. been a precedent for this before, and I was prepared to take action if it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, what were you going to do if your sisters got their phone at 11, but you didn't?
Well, since it's my birthday, I can't really show any anger about it,
right.
But I would be a little bit sad.
Wow, that's really good, though, and reflective and aware
mm-hmm.
and tactful.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know this, but luckily for you, because it came out a day after your birthday, it
right.
just came out that science is saying that 13 should be the minimum age that kids get a phone. Now,
you know, much like your mom, we all gave our kids phones at 11 years old. That was kind of the standard that we set for such a long time.
Turns out you were all wrong.
Right. They're saying that 13. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's a little bit old because when you're in middle school, you kind of need a phone.
Why?
If I went for your phone and asked you to give it back, would you?
No.
Right. Where He's would like, you sucks hide? To be them. Paraphrase, right?
Where would you hide your phone so Raven couldn't take it back?
Maybe in my closet.
Yeah, that's good. That's
Never
good.
Looked there.
Now, what are you going to do at night when it's time to put the phone away? Are you actually going to put it away or are you going to sneak it under your covers?
I would put it away.
All right, good.
Because he's early on.
Mm-hmm.
He's early on this journey.
Yep. It says that it causes cyberbullying. Have you found any cyberbullying in the last 24 hours that you've had your phone?
Nope.
That's good. It's all smiles right now. Rainbows. Yeah.
Poor family relationships. I can say for a fact, being on vacation with you many, many times, that the minute you guys put your heads in those iPads, you all stop talking to each other. Is this going to make you stop talking to your sisters and your brother?
Probably not.
A little bit more wavering on that answer. Not so sure.
All right. You don't have Instagram yet, do you?
No.
No, that's we're going to wait till we're 16. We're going to wait. That's the age for Instagram is 16 years old. That's
that makes
the best.
Sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthday. We love you.
Thanks. Love you too.
Shark Week is upon us and it's all about the sharks. But when you're talking about Mr. Shark himself, it's none other than Paul DeGelder. And he's joining us at Santa and Raven.
This is the rock star of the Discovery Network. Paul, welcome back.
Oh, no pleasure at all, mate. Thanks for having me.
This must be the craziest week for you. I mean, when Shark Week happens, everybody wants to get the poet on the phone, all right? The guy who has been there, who has lived it. So if you could just briefly, again, take us through the day in 2009 that changed your life forever.
Well, how I got to that day, I guess. I joined the Army Paratroopers in Australia in November 2000. Changed from the Army to the Navy in 2005 and became a clearance diver. And that's kind of like underwater bomb disposal, land-based explosive bomb disposal, reconnaissance swimming, attack swimming, underwater salvage. And then in 2009, after doing that for 4 years, I turned up to work one morning. I'm in Sydney Harbour doing a counterterrorism exercise. Just fundamentally, I'm just pretending to be an attack swimmer. And I'm swimming on the surface in Sydney Harbour when a 9-foot bull shark comes up from underneath me, grabs me by the hand and the leg in the same bite, tears them from my body, like absolute agony. I can't even begin to explain how painful this is. It's like something out of the movie Saw where you're being tortured, and take the body parts out of my body and I have to swim back to my safety boat, one hand, one leg, through a pool of my own blood. And thankfully, my buddy's medical training in the boat kept me alive until paramedics could arrive. And then they whisked me off to hospital, and that's when the recovery began. Turns out I didn't die, and thankfully I got to the boat before it came back.
Tell me about what was life like immediately after that and how you progressed to where you're at now.
It's a funny thing when you go through something like that and you wake up in a hospital and all of your family and friends are there and they look so worried that you almost put yourself second and you're trying to alleviate their worries and you're like, I'm cracking jokes, trying to make them laugh so they're not too concerned about me. It was really physically, mentally, emotionally so draining. Trying to stay positive yourself, the drugs helped a lot, let me tell you. The absolute lowest point in my life. But thankfully, I got past that period and I was just laying in my hospital bed thinking, okay, what do I do now? It came down to me having a choice. And so I made a choice and I decided to live.
And that ended up becoming a huge pivot point for you, I know. Paul DeGelder on the phone with us right now. He's the star of Discovery Channel's Shark Week. You can see him with various superstars throughout the week. Plenty of people would have never imagined returning to the lifestyle that you were living before. But all you wanted to do was get back to work.
That was probably the biggest thing, my career. I didn't have anything else to fall back on. Now, I'd flunked out of high school. I didn't have any other skills except for the military. And if I was going to lose that, I didn't know what else I would do with my life. And I felt that I wouldn't have any value or purpose. All I wanted to do was just get back on my feet, get back to training, get back to work. So I said, Doc, just take the leg and turn me into a Terminator.
Wow. Paul DeGelder, great to talk to you, Paul. Thank you so much, as always, for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, mate. Thank you for having me.
Just begun. Oh, Carl Weathers.
Oh, sing it, Chubbs.
White lace and promises.
White lace and promises, Raven.
That was part of the happy place, actually.
Oh, yes.
That was part of her outfit, as I remember, yeah.
Trending is powered by Progressive Auto. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. It's all coming out on Friday, and I can almost guarantee you it's going to break every record that Netflix ever had.
Well, I feel like Netflix does this every time they come out with something huge now. I feel like it all breaks a streaming record, but this is certainly going to be very popular. I just really hope it delivers, because what a letdown if it doesn't, right?
So if you remember,
it's a lot to live up to.
It's been nearly 3 decades since the original Happy Gilmore.
That's hard to believe.
With Adam Sandler. I mean, and one of the most iconic scenes of all time.
Oh, you like that, old man? You want a piece of me? I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing. Now you've had enough.
That is Bob Barker beating up Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong.
Yep. So, you know, Adam Sandler said for 28 years, people would stop him in the street and they wouldn't ask for a selfie or anything. They would say, when is the Happy Gilmore sequel coming? And he never wanted to do it. But recently he did. Now, we talked earlier about, you know, Chubbs. Carl Weathers. Yeah.
What a loss.
He was supposed to be part of this movie.
A huge part, obviously. Yes. I mean, what great comedic timing. And that guy was a beast. When he took his shirt off, Anna, Rocky III lives on.
And then, unfortunately, he passed away. So they had to revise the entire script. So now it's more of a tribute to him, the whole storyline, which is very exciting.
Well, that's sweet. And it makes sense for their whole story. So I hope it works well.
Now, if you're not familiar with Happy Gilmore, and you're, you know, you've never heard of it, it's about Adam Sandler. He was a hockey player, wanted to be a pro hockey player. He couldn't cut it as a hockey player.
Turns out he was
very good at golf, but he was very unconventional along the way, and lots of hilarity ensued.
It sounds like we are really romanticizing this.
Well, speaking of romanticizing, remember, whenever Happy had to get a little bit crazy and he had to calm himself down, Raven, what would he do?
He would go to his happy place.
All right, just remember what Chubb said. Go to a happy place. Go to a happy place.
Oh.
There was like a person on a unicycle, his girlfriend with two pitchers of beer.
Yeah, his grandmother. Remember, he loves his grandmother. So, okay, Raven, if I say, Raven, go to your happy place.
Oh, okay.
Raven, go to your happy place.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I would take myself back to Lanikai Beach on Oahu when I was sitting on the beach of David E. Kelly and Michelle Pfeiffer. And I was out there, and it was the time of Hawaiian Tropic Oil, too.
Yeah.
I was just slathered in oil on what would be, you know, a private beach to anybody else, but they don't have private beach on Hawaii, on Oahu. So I just got to sit right there on their, basically, their front lawn.
It's weird that your happy place involves oil, but okay.
Well, yeah.
That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Acquitted.
My happy place is... Every year growing up, we would go to Ocean City, Maryland.
Nice.
And we went for years. Actually, last year was the first year we didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bridge you go over. And once you go over this bridge, you're there. And you could smell the funnel cakes in the air from the boardwalk.
Oh, I love that. And you could smell the ocean in the boardwalk right there.
Yeah, that's my happy place. I could almost smell it.
I'm glad your nostrils are relatively clear, because that could have been embarrassing if it whistled right at that moment.
Yeah, definitely. Go to your happy place today.
Go!
Printing your photos is back.
Whoa.
Which is so crazy. Producer Julie is part of Gen Z. And Gen Z is really between the ages of 18 and 27. And what they recently found is that 43% of Gen Z is printing photos at least 4 times a year.
Woohoo!
Why are we clapping for that?
Unless we're here for the printing.
That's so funny. And you want to know what? It's 9 times more than boomers. That's only 5% still printing their photos.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the list of places that I used to drive by headed into work. I believe Kodak was once on that list. I believe that Polaroid was once on that list. Huge, massive, expansive, different complexes that they had that just dwindled and disappeared over the years. Maybe it's time for them to come back. Can we return to Xerox?
So, Producer Julie, I know you wanted to make a scrapbook. And when you said this, I thought it was interesting because my daughter, my teenager...
Because you're under the age of 92.
Well, right.
Thought that was interesting.
But my daughter's doing the same thing. And I'm like, oh, it's back. Printing your photos is back.
100%. I'm so tired of looking at everything on Instagram. I want to hold my photos. I love that feeling of the nostalgia of it.
Tell me about the scrapbook that you create. Well, so you have printed photos.
Actually, no scrapbook has been
Oh, it
started.
Hasn't been created yet at this point. No, but you're thinking that you'd like
to
get to that.
She had to start with the pictures.
Yep, I had to start with the getting the photo.
Yeah. So what happened when you were embarking on this adventure to print pictures?
Yeah, step one.
Well, step one was to pick the photos and send them to CVS to get them printed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I went to the CVS all excited for that hour. It takes an hour to print them. Went over, got them, and I opened it up all thrilled. And they were blurry. It felt like I had those 3D glasses that you wear to the movies, but you're not watching a 3D movie. They're just all like blurry.
Right.
You were like underwater.
Oh, yeah. So there is nothing more disappointing. And I remember this because this was a time where this was the only way I could see pictures where you would be so excited. You would get that envelope and you would open and you'd be like, oh, no.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're terrible, these pictures.
The worst thing was, I remember, like, you would get a camera, a disposable, or you'd have a roll of film in your fancy camera, and you'd take a photo, and you, like you said, you'd have no idea how good it was until after it was over and you had it developed. But you were out on vacation, and you were, like, sparingly using them.
Right. You only had three pictures left.
Yes!
And you always had red eyes. For whatever reason, your eyes were always red.
Well, Satan, mostly.
So, Julie, you went back to CVS.
I did it.
I bought these yesterday, and most of them are blurry. I didn't know if you could return them and refund it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you know if I'll have to reorder the photos? Because it's just going to refund it. It's not going to, like, reprint them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll reorder them.
Please sign.
Sure.
I mean, you thought she was going to solve all your problems?
What do you guys do with the photos after you just
throw them out?
Such a shame, right?
They get,
like shredded.
They don't shred them.
They're not
shredded. No.
Shredded?
That's a waste. That's a lie.
Yeah,
they're throwing them in the garbage. What are they going to do with the photos?
Well, some weirdo in the back rooms like, oh, I like her.
Well,
let me keep that one.
I wanted some of them back. I was like, wait, some of them weren't that bad if you're going to shred them.
What are they going to do with them? They just toss them in a big bin that goes into the garbage can.
I have a printer at my house. You just print photos.
Yeah, you have to get a little printer and do it yourself. Or I don't know, because I tried this a few times too, and whenever I sent them to be printed, they don't come out great. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You know what I've noticed is that, like, the Snapfish and those websites, they're better than
those
a lot of the local places.
Way better.
I mean, you would think if you're sending your photo to somebody to get printed, like, they'd have some program that's just going to tighten it up a little bit before you get there.
But the technology hasn't gotten there yet. But give AI about 6 months and they'll have it all figured out.
I used to have a thing called a Kodak disc. You ever heard of that?
No. I'm just going to stay on Instagram.
Yes. Have you ever flirted with your boss to get a raise or a promotion? 91% of people say they have. That can't be real.
That's kind of scandalous.
That's wild.
Wow.
I
had unattractive bosses most of my life, so.
I never.
Yeah.
And I was shocked when I heard that stat. You think that's bad? Almost half of HR employees secretly admitted to dating a coworker.
Wait a minute. Isn't HR supposed to take some sort of oath or something like that?
Aren't you supposed to be
like righteous or virtuous?
Like a blood oath? Like,
yes. They spit in their hand, right? And they shake on it. And they just say this is not something you're supposed to allow to do. If they're going to lecture everybody else, it seems pretty hypocritical.
And 1 in 3 employees say they have hooked up with their boss.
Wow.
That's a huge stat. Where did you get these things?
See, I thought you were going to talk about, like, subordinates. I didn't think you were going to talk about people that were, like, you know, one person's above, you know, another level
or
whatever.
That CEO was certainly above his head of HR at the Coldplay concert.
Yeah, not anymore.
Can
you imagine being the husband of the HR director who's just like, you were supposed to be above this. You were supposed to be the one paying attention to everybody else.
If I'm understanding correctly about her, she just got married recently to the CEO of another company. I felt like saying, girl, leave some CEOs for the rest of the single ladies. Can you just take them all?
I saw in one of the comments it was CEO deathmatch they were rooting for there. Yeah, okay. So
we went around the office, producer Julie, and asked everybody this.
Do you think it's okay to have an inter-office relationship?
Absolutely not. That gets really, really messy.
Have you ever had one?
No.
No.
Liar.
No.
I mean,
it sounded in her tone like she was a 100% liar. She's like, that gets really, really messy. And then have you ever had one? No. That's okay. Right.
Do you think it's okay to have an inter-office relationship?
Oh, it depends. I would say maybe not, but if they're really cute, maybe.
Have you ever had one?
Wow.
No, I have not.
Good answer. And this is her second day, so I'm really putting her on the spot.
I mean, if they're really cute, maybe.
I mean, should we be asking people this? She thought that right after because it was her second day. Julie was going to be like, somebody likes you. I have a note. Circle yes or no if you're interested. That's wonderful.
Do you think it's okay to have an inter-office relationship?
Oh, no, that's not good. If something goes sour outside of the office, it tends to carry into the office.
Have you ever had one?
No.
And there is our business manager, pseudo HR director, right now in our building.
So that is exactly
the answer that we wanted to hear.
Do we have an HR department?
Not really. That's why I say pseudo.
Yeah.
But she's the closest thing we've got.
Well, just because she's like the sweetest lady
and smart
and knows how to do our paperwork.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, she knows.
That's what you want.
Do you think it's okay to have an inner office relationship?
Well, I'm a little biased because my wife and I met here at work at the office.
I didn't actually realize that you met here.
Yeah, we're married, two kids. Yeah, I think it's okay. Why not? As long as people know about it and people have known about it ever since we met.
Does it impact your work?
Not negatively.
I love that.
So, because think about it. Like all the company events, the Christmas party, everything where we do it all together.
You always have a buddy.
I will say this because, you know, they're my close friends. I will say that they work harder for this company, I think, because they both work here. And I don't think it has impacted anything. I really don't.
Okay. Well, thank you. The parade begins at 3 p.m.
I mean,
they're great people. And they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And there are always exceptions to the rule.
Right. But neither of them were married. And neither of them were a boss.
And neither of them were married to somebody else when they met.
I think when it's your coworker, it's one thing. No, they were not.
Okay.
I think when it's your coworker, it's one thing. I think it's when it's your boss, that's where it starts
totally
getting
different.
Really tricky.
The power dynamic changes everything.
Absolutely.
100%.
The Prince of Darkness has passed away. He was 76 years old, Ozzy Osbourne. What a life! What a life!
Yeah, it's a sad day, you know, for many music fans all over the world. But it's also, you know, it's the closing of a circle for something that's been happening a long time. You know, I was just talking about it earlier with somebody in the hallway. I said that Ozzy didn't give his life in honor of heavy metal. He gave his life to heavy metal because he was heavy metal. Everything heavy metal was embodied in Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, I mean, he invented headbanging. That was him. That was all him. And, you know, the crazy part about it is when they say a full life and like a full circle moment, he reunited with Black Sabbath on July 5th.
Yeah.
It was a
show that had
concert.
Been years in the making. He was trying to do one last tour and it just had to be canceled over and over and over again. But this show came together.
He was 76 years old and there's a documentary that I don't know if it came out yet or it's about to be put out. And it was basically on that show. And in it, he says,
sure, there'll be
I'm
a bunch.
Dying. It's a fact. That farewell performance was something I insisted on doing. I don't want to disappear silently. I have to say goodbye in person.
And, you know, the thing about Ozzy is that he looks scary and menacing and terrifying, and he wasn't.
Super nice guy.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in radio's got a story about Ozzy. That's what I've learned. And I have one. I was setting up his dressing room at a concert way, way back in the day, and I didn't know he was sleeping on the couch. So as I'm setting up all the promotional stuff and, like, the food and everything, all of a sudden I hear, hello. And he's asleep in his underwear on the couch. And he just sits up and I go, oh, hi. And he was waved to me, went right back down, went back to sleep.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of interviewing Ozzy Osbourne, I think, three times total. And the first time was incredibly intimidating. It was full of a room full of people. And he was very nice and generous with his time. And the thing about Ozzy was, you know, he had Parkinson's for over two decades, really. But with Ozzy, you never knew which Ozzy you were going to get. Some days he was very sharp still, and other days he was, you know, having a little bit more trouble. And that day he was very sharp. And when he was great. You felt like, you know, center of the universe just talking with him.
And while he may have been very nice, and sweet and
super
know,
nice.
You can imagine a 21-year-old girl setting up a dressing room and looking over and seeing Ozzy. Like my eyes, I must have looked
very
panic.
Intimidating.
Yeah, there was somebody who I thought was a lot more terrifying.
It's not those doctors who keep me alive, but Sharon, that woman who supported my messy life. She knew how terrible I was when I was young. She should have dumped me countless times, but never left.
Sharon Osbourne is the most terrifying person I've ever met in my entire life. And I give her a lot of respect for that, because what she had to endure and deal with over the course of her life and his was no easy task. And she ran a tight ship.
There's no person that you're going to love every element of. And Sharon Osbourne is one of those types, but an incredibly strong and successful woman, and definitely somebody that you can look to.
Yeah.
I want everyone to see, no matter how weak my body is, the Dark Prince is still here. Alive.
I can't. It's just crazy that it's just a matter of weeks later that he's gone. It's like he was holding on just for that concert, just to have that goodbye moment. And he was emotional on that stage, crying a lot.
When you have something that you know you are ready to wake up for every single day, if you have a mission, something that you're going for, it really will give you a destination spot. I've seen it time and time again with people that pass, family or friends or whatever. They're waiting for that other family member to arrive or whatever. That family member for Ozzy was the show. And was the embodiment again of the music. Mama, I'm coming home.
What's the difference between high fructose corn syrup and cane sugar? And
deliciousness.
Which one? Is it? Is there one that's more delicious than the other?
Yes.
All right. Trending is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Well, the world was turned upside down when this happened.
Yesterday, President Trump posted on Truth Social that because of him, Coca-Cola will be switching to real cane sugar in Coke in the United States. Coca-Cola has been using corn syrup for its products in the U.S. since the early 1980s.
And employs tens of thousands of people to use the corn syrup. So when this came out, it caused mass confusion because they were like, what? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean we're all going to be out of a job?
Coke has responded with neither confirming or denying in their statement, just saying that while they appreciate Trump's enthusiasm, it would have, quote, more details on new innovative offerings coming soon.
And well, now the soon is here. We have those facts.
Well, here's the main thing is it's not good for you. The high fructose corn syrup thing. It's not good for you. The cane sugar is, in fact, better for you. So this is part of all, you know, FDA new regulations that are going to make us all healthier here. And it does taste different. Pepsi did this a couple years ago with a retro throwback. You may remember they brought the old labels back, put it on all their cans and whatnot. And it was delicious. But if you go to Mexico, Anna, you can experience Mexican Coke. You can get it at stores around here, too. And it doesn't have that stuff in it.
Yeah, so Costco's the big retailer that sells Mexican Coke. But it's like the one that you see in the glass bottle. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've learned from the announcement that Coca-Cola made yesterday is that it's going to be a new version of Coke. So you'll be able to buy the regular Coke, like always. And then there's going to be most likely more expensive.
Oh,
let's be honest.
I like this.
It's another version of Coke made with American cane sugar, not Mexican sugar. And if you were wondering, is one healthier than the other? They're kind of making it sound like it is, but cane sugar still has to be processed. So it's kind of the same thing, except this will be a more bougie Coca-Cola.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with all those statements here, but I am here to taste these and tell you what I can garner right now from the taste.
So Raven has in front of him Mexican Coke, which is made with cane sugar that's imported from Mexico.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been able to get this
I can handle it.
At restaurants and stores for years.
Yeah,
when you see it in the glass bottle. That's how you know it's a different one.
Yeah.
All right. But you have to have a can opener, which caused a lot of chaos around here a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because producer Julie didn't know how to use a can opener.
Luckily, Justin had one with him because he's one of those type of guys.
All right. So taste the Mexican Coke with cane sugar. This is so anticlimactic.
I was just going to say, I just realized we don't have a blindfold or anything.
I mean, if you could tell the difference.
So I know which one is which.
All right. So you have the regular Coke and the Mexican Coke.
Should be noted that this regular Coke is also from a fountain. All right. And so because of that, it's already got a little bit of a different taste. But
don't you just think that soda out of a bottle always tastes better than out of a can?
It tastes differently. I can tell you that. It's got less carbonation, but it is sweeter, the Mexican Coke.
All right, well, here's the good news. If you love traditional Coke, it's not going anywhere. And if you want to buy bougie new Coke, it'll be available soon. But they haven't told us exactly when yet.
Here's the thing. I'm going to drink both of these.
I know you will.
That is bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you think of Coldplay concerts, you probably think of this.
Oh, look at these two. Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Spoiler alert, they're having an affair. It's a CEO of a company and a head of his HR. But you want to know, besides exposing people that are having affairs in the audience, there's something else that if you've ever gone to a Coldplay concert, you know that Chris Martin loves to do.
You have to educate me because I've never been.
Okay.
He doesn't know. Okay, hold on. All right, hold on. I got you. Watch this. Right, here we go. Hold on.
He loves to do gender reveals. Chris Martin loves it.
Is that right?
If you can get his attention in a crowd and say, I have like an envelope, I have the information, and they don't know if we're having a boy or a girl, not only does he stop down the show to do it, but he'll sing this song.
Hello, my beautiful brother and sister. Seeing you gives me such joy. Well, my friends and me, we all want to see. Are you having a girl or a boy?
It's kind of like the Red Lobster happy birthday song. People come out clapping salad plates. Like, you know what to expect, and you are expecting it.
So he sings a song, are you having a girl or a boy? Uh-huh. And then you do the big thing.
Are you having a girl or a boy? A girl. That's beautiful. Congratulations, both of you.
And then everybody screams and cheers and no marriages are broken up. Yeah, it's the opposite of what happened last week. They're very interactive. He stops down the concert a lot to do these kind of things.
Sure.
But I started thinking about it and I said, are the days of gender reveals pretty much over?
I mean, it's gotten out of hand.
Well,
but it's gotten crazy.
It got out of hand. And now you don't hear about it so much anymore.
Yeah.
So there was a period where everybody was trying to one-up each other. They were exploding things into the sky.
I was gonna say,
fireworks.
Ended in a couple wildfires, as I recall.
There was parties.
Not
there was
good.
Gender reveal parties, mm-hmm. where you would get an invitation to go.
My brother and sister-in-law's, it was golf ball. They had to hit the golf ball.
Right, and the ball explodes. And
yes.
If it's blue smoke, it's a boy.
It didn't explode as well as it does in a lot of videos. It just kind of was like, poof. And it was another girl.
So, you know, with Hayden, my 16-year-old, my teenager, she it wasn't a thing back then to do gender reveals. But when I was pregnant with Dakota, she's six, it was. But I wasn't going to do a party or anything like that.
Yeah.
So what I did was a gender reveal for my husband and for my older daughter, Hayden. And what I did is I got one of those giant balloons.
Okay.
And I have a video of it. Now, keep in mind, all my husband ever wanted was a little boy.
Yeah.
It was his dream. You know, he played college football. He
was good
a
athlete.
Football guy. He was a wrestler. He wanted to do all the stuff with his little boy. All right, Hayden, you ready to find out what you're having?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
What does this mean?
It's a girl.
Yeah, you're going to be a big sister and you're going to have a little sister. And Daddy, you are officially outnumbered a lot in this family.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's get that reaction one more time. What was that reaction?
Yeah.
If you have a second, go to our Instagram at Anna and Raven. I just had producer Julie pull up this video. I reposted the video. You have to look at his face.
Well, that really says it all.
When you look at his face, when it's all pink, and he knows that this is it. You know, we were blessed to have Dakota. It was not easy the second time to be able to have her.
This was it.
This was it. He knew this was going to be our last chance, and he saw that pink. Like, now we laugh about it because he's such a girl dad.
I mean, you guys were giggling hysterically during that. I think that was part of the hurtful part of it, too. Laughing at his pain.
Right. But if you did a gender reveal, what did you do? Again, go to Instagram to watch that video at Anna and Raven, but we want to hear. Do you still do it? Did you do it? What was your thing? Call 1-800-330-9999. The one thing that Coldplay loves to do at concerts, besides, you know, show people having affairs in the crowd, is gender reveals.
Hello, my beautiful brother and sister. Seeing you gives me such joy. Well, my friends and me, we all want to see. Are you having a girl or a boy?
And then you reveal it to the spy, and then everybody cheers, and, ah, it's a boy!
It's a nice gesture. The affair one, you'll get more clicks, but okay.
Yeah, so the question is gender reveals, are they over, or did you actually have one, and what did you do? I'm pretty sure you probably didn't have Chris Martin tell a whole crowd of 55,000 screaming fans.
Too bad.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Jeanette, what happened at your gender reveal?
So, at the time, my son was 10 years old,
and we went to Party City to pick up the balloon together. And as we walked out and the sunlight hit the balloon, I could see the color inside the balloon because it wasn't dark enough. But I could see his reaction, too, because he was so upset about it because he wanted a little brother.
Oh,
I was so happy because it ended up being a girl. So I saw the pink and I was so excited, but because I already knew.
Right. The funny part is that my favorite reactions are when the kids are sad about what the answer is. I remember my niece went and hid in a closet and cried. She wanted a sister so bad, and she just kept getting brothers.
Hey, Tracy, what did you do for your gender reveal? What's your story?
We did a whole football theme. I was due in January, so we did, my husband and I, we had jerseys made with the due date. The whole football field I decorated, and then everyone had to choose a team that they were rooting for. We had diaper raffle, and it was a whole huge party. And yes, Anna, I did send invitations out.
Oh, my gosh. Did anybody tackle you, even though you were the pregnant woman?
Yeah, how was it actually revealed?
So we opened a box, and then a football balloon came out, and then pink balloons came out.
The tackling didn't happen, though?
Balloons in a box.
Connie, tell us about your gender reveal. What did you guys do?
Well, we had the great idea to do it in a pinata. We got our whole family together. We made a little party of it. And we let the kids go first. Surprisingly, the kids couldn't break the pinata. Then the adults started, couldn't break the pinata.
I mean, could anybody break the pinata?
Did we ever find out, or did we have to wait for the actual labor?
Are you still pregnant?
I am not pregnant anymore. We had the babies. We ended up getting an actual bat from the basement, and my husband had to beat it open.
Somebody give me this circular saw.
Yeah.
Some of those pinatas are made very well. Mm. They're made to withstand a serious beating.
Other ones, you try and hang them up, and they fall apart.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, good job on getting a quality pinata. Kept the suspense going a little bit longer.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Andrew, how did you do your gender reveal?
Me and my wife, we decided to fill up water balloons. We used food coloring, and we had a huge water balloon fight with me and her family and our family, my family. We all wore white t-shirts, so when we threw the balloons, they exploded and they were all blue.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a cute idea.
Except for the fact that filling up water balloons has to be one of the worst tasks a parent has to face.
It can be challenging. And especially if you're doing food coloring for all of them ahead of time.
Oh.
Like, that's difficult.
Yeah.
What kind of spigot are we using here? That's tough.
It took you like 6 hours to fill up those water balloons.
For real.
And you couldn't even feel your fingers when you were done.
Not a bad service, though, for a party to offer.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
That's like something a company should do. We do colored water balloons for gender reveals.
The upcharge on that would be huge.
Tremendous. Yeah.
Really nice.
Right. Now they have those reusable water balloons. Not the same.
I wouldn't think so.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. Annabelle and Evan. Annabelle, let's start with you. What's going on?
So his brother is going through a divorce, and he'd like to move in with us. We've got like a little in-law apartment above the garage, and he's offered to pay $1,000 a month in rent. We're both happy to have him. He's going through a hard time. The divorce has been tough, but I do think he needs a rental agreement in place. I just think it's the best thing to do to set expectations and to protect everyone. He doesn't think his brother should have to sign a lease.
Evan, what's your side of this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like she said, he's going through a tough time. And I think this is just something that's like, you know, just shuffled his world around. And I really think it's absurd to even ask for a lease. You know, realistically, I doubt that he's going to even push past 6 months. He's probably going to find another place. And if it gets to a point of where it seems like he's trying to make it a more permanent thing, then yeah, we could talk about it. But I mean, with everything that's going on, you know, he still has to deal with the actual divorce process. Mm. I feel like, why would I ask my brother to do that? You know, he wouldn't ask me to do that.
Well, let me ask you something. Annabelle, are you more concerned about the stipulations of while he's living there? Or are you, like, looking for him to sign, like, a year lease? And then if he leaves early or something like that, there's a penalty? Or just, again, this is just about expectations and kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, rules?
This is more about rules.
So you'd let him go?
Yeah, I don't care about the length of time.
Mm-hmm. I actually, Anna, what do you think? I don't think it's a terrible idea at all, to tell you the truth, because we all think that these situations are smooth and easy, but they're not.
Yeah, but if my brother wants to blow up my world and not pay and not do whatever, I mean, it's my brother. What am I going to do? Does it make a difference if you have a lease in place or not?
Yeah, and I guess, I suppose you're right.
Right, like you put a lease in front of him, I would be like, I would be offended. You don't trust me? You know, I could see where that could cause a problem right off the bat.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it makes the discussion ahead of time. It just kind of puts people on notice and says, let's all be in a respectful place. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess how would I feel?
You're right. What do you think? If your brother was moving into your home, would you ask him to sign a lease?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
The one thing that Annabelle and Evan do agree on is that they're happy that his brother is moving in. He's going through a messy divorce. It's been hard. And they have an in-law apartment at their home. He has offered to pay rent to come live there with them. And they're happy to have them. But Annabelle says, but he's still got to sign a lease.
Yeah, I mean, she just thinks that it's prudent, that they have some rules, that they have a starting point, that they know what's expected of each other. I mean, without using the term rules, to have some ground rules, right, to go off of. But basically, Evan says, listen, my brother's got enough going on right now. He'll be offended by this. He knows I would never ask him, so why are we going to do this?
Right. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Anisha.
I agree with the wife. I feel as though setting expectations won't be an issue. I feel as though family members tend to take advantage of opportunities like that. So, you know, it would be offensive. However, in the end, it protects everyone. I agree with the wife.
Some of the worst roommates I ever had, thanks for the call, were friends, Anna, right? So people that know you, they do tend to take advantage.
Right, but friends and families, two different things.
She said family takes advantage. I'm telling you right now, the parameters should be defined.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Your brother's going through a tough divorce, and he's moving in with you and your wife, and you're both happy about it. Except your wife wants you to have him sign a lease because he is going to be paying you a monthly stipend. Couples Court Verdict is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through the 28th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Evan needs a place to crash. They've got an in-law apartment. Seems like a great deal, right? But Annabelle says, yes, he's welcome, and he's welcome to stay as long as he needs to, but we should have a lease. Not a month-to-month thing. Not like they're going to hold him up at the end of the year if he gets out early. Just something that says, this is what's expected. This is how you should treat the property. That's it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Mario.
I believe I will go with the guy's side. And, you know, it's his brother. He's going through hard times at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, technically, it's just family. So it goes to say, if you give any charge of anything, it's just by being helpful. But at the end of the day, it's family. Why are you going to really charge fam? And to give any rules and regulations for stuff, it goes to say, there's boundaries, of course, but at the end of the day, fam is going to end up just being there for a short period of time and then move on.
Yeah. Mario, have you ever crashed on somebody's couch for a while?
Yeah, I actually did over at my sister's.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate your input.
Jim, whose side are you on?
Family members are notorious for taking advantage. First it'll be, oh, you know, I don't have the money this month, and then it'll be 3 months, and I'll owe you. You know, I'm good for it. I'm your brother, kind of thing. And I think absolutely, anytime money's exchanged, it needs to be legal.
You know what I think of when I think of a family member crashing at the house for a long time?
What?
Walking around in their boxers and feet up on the coffee table.
Well, if they have an in-law separate space, what's the difference? Go ahead, put those feetsies up.
Yeah, Nikki, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I mean, I get it. The wife's got a point. Family's family, but things could get messy. There's no reason that you can't have just like a little contract with a little financial plan.
I mean, he's signing legal documents left and right right now, Anna. Divorce papers, separation papers, checks to be paid out to the ex.
Does he really need another one, though?
This is just another one.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Annabelle, our audience agreed with you. It's better to have the paperwork in place. Just act like it's no big deal. You do this with anybody that lives there, even though I don't think anybody else ever actually lived there. And he'll understand. It's a, you know, it's an agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that everyone agreed with me. I mean, we just, like you guys said, like, you think this is going to be easy, but sometimes it's best to have something in place in case there's any conflict.
Evan, I think that, listen, if it was you and your brother, you're just a couple bros, you could work it out, and maybe he'd be moving into your apartment, and maybe you'd regret not having that conversation, or maybe you wouldn't. But, you know, he's got to understand, you're married. He knows that. He was just in a marriage. He's getting out of a marriage. So there's two people in the house, and he understands that sometimes they've got different opinions. This is for your all's protection.
You know, I get it. I just didn't want to put it all on Annabelle's shoulders because, you know, he knows that I really wouldn't ask him that. And I wanted it to be an issue where he didn't have to look at my wife in any other way, the way he's looking at his ex right now. So.
Well, put it on me and Anna.
Yeah, you say it's our fault. We don't care.
That's what I would say. Put it on our callers.
All right. If you have a problem, too, you could always send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com. Good luck, guys.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,700 thanks to T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Oh, we got a whole crew with us today. Rosetta, JP, and Gianna. You all ready to play?
Yes, we are.
All right, are you feeling confident?
Yes, we are.
Okay, let's do this. We got a lot of money on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
You got please. It. Good luck, you three. $2,700.
All right, here we go. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. He's out in the hall. I'm going to bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Rosetta, make sure you're the one that answers. And if you're not sure, just guess, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, you ready to do it?
Yes, we're ready.
Number one, Scottie Scheffler won the British Open this weekend. If he wins the U.S. Open next year, which is happening on his birthday, he'll have a career grand slam. What sport does he play?
Tennis.
What is it?
Tennis.
Number 2, Adam Sandler says fans stopped him in the streets for 28 years asking for a Happy Gilmore sequel. It'll be out this Friday on Netflix. What happened to his coach, Chubb's hand?
Got promotion.
Number 3, South Park creators reached a $1.5 billion streaming deal with Paramount. What is the name of Mr. Garrison's hand puppet before he was retired in the 6th season?
Oh, I don't know.
Number 4, according to a new poll, America's favorite city is the same city where Post Malone just opened his new bar. Where is that?
Tennessee.
City.
Nashville.
All right, number 5, to celebrate Selena Gomez's birthday, Taylor Swift gifted her a homemade loaf of sourdough bread with a sticker on it that said, "It's a loaf story." That is a reference to which one of her songs?
Love Story.
Love Story.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Let's go.
I'm feeling kind, so I'm going to give Rosetta, JP, and Gianna 2.
Okay. I didn't know it was for interpretation, but let's see how I do.
Number 1, Scottie Scheffler won the British Open this weekend. If he wins the U.S. Open next year, which is happening on his birthday, he'll have a career grand slam. What sport does he play?
Golf.
Plays golf. Golf, guys. Number 2, Adam Sandler says fans stopped him in the streets for 28 years asking for a Happy Gilmore sequel. It'll be out this Friday on Netflix.
Mm.
What happened to his coach, Chubb's hand?
An alligator bit it off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Number 3, South Park creators reached a $1.5 billion streaming deal with Paramount. That's wild.
Huge money.
But do you know that it's worth $300 million every year?
It's an unbelievable franchise. It's 20-plus years at this point. Amazing.
Yeah. What is the name of Mr. Garrison's hand puppet before he was retired in the 6th season?
Mr. Hat.
Mr. Hat. And when you listen back to those old episodes, you know why he was retired.
Number four, according to a new poll, America's favorite city is the same city where Post Malone just opened his new bar. Where's that?
Nashville.
That's right.
Posties.
Number five, to celebrate Selena Gomez's birthday, Taylor Swift gifted her a homemade loaf of sourdough bread with a sticker on it that said, "It's a loaf story."
Delicious.
That's a reference to which one of her songs?
It's a love story. Love story.
What's it called?
Love story.
Love story. All right. I'm sorry, Rosetta, JP, and Gianna. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Rose and JP and Gianna. We can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt to split amongst the three of yourselves. $2,800 tomorrow, Anna. Let's go.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.